It's good for us to be here tonight together to worship God. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 2 this evening a little bit. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. Solomon, the wise king, was writing to his son, one of his sons. We don't know how many he had, but he was writing. He says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Read that and realize Solomon was the wisest man of his time. God answered his prayer when he became the king of Israel after David had died. And God told him, "Ask whatever you want." And most people probably would have asked for power or wealth or fame or whatever it might have been. And he asked God not of those things, but to have wisdom to be able to judge properly the people of Israel over whom he was going to be the king. And God told him, "Because you have not asked for wealth and fame and all of those things," he says, "I'm going to give you all of it, including wisdom." And he was the wisest man of his time. Now, you read about the life of Solomon, and you will find that just because he was wise did not mean that he always used that wisdom in the best way. But he was wise above all others of his time, and he was the wealthiest and most powerful king of his time. He expanded the kingdom of Israel to its greatest extent that it ever was before, ever would be, during the time of Solomon. And so he knew what he was talking about when he was writing. And so the idea, he says there in verse 5, he says, if you do all these things, we'll come back to those in a moment, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. But it has to start there. And the idea of fear doesn't simply mean that we're afraid of punishment if we do wrong. Now, it does include that idea, but that's not what the context is talking about here. When he says you'll understand the fear of the Lord, it means reverence for one thing. And Psalms 111 and verse 9, David wrote there, he says, "Holy and reverend is his name." That's God's name. And you know, there's people in the world that take that kind of name for themselves, but the Bible says there's only one that deserves that name, and that's God. And so we have to understand that the fear of the Lord, as the term is used here, has to do with reverence for God, placing him in our heart and mind in the place that God deserves to be, because he is our creator and everything else. It also has to do with respect. Respect because he is the creator of the universe. He's the creator of you and me. He is the sustainer of the universe. And Colossians chapter 1, the Bible tells us that in him all things consist or are whole together because of his power. And also he is our benefactor. Now, the Bible tells us in James chapter 1 that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So he is our sustainer, our creator, our benefactor, our creator. He is all of those things. Also, the idea has to do with love of God. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, when one of the people came to Jesus and asked, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said, "The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And he says, the second is likened to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so to love God with all that we are, heart, soul, mind, and strength, that covers about everything. He says then that is part of fearing God, or having him proper in respect and understanding in our life. To love God, and he says, "You shall love the Lord your God above all other things." And Also, it has to do with praise of God. In other words, praising God in song and in prayer and the things we do in our life. In Psalms chapter 150 and verse 6, it says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord." So that is part of our life every day. Our life, the things we do, the actions we take, the words we speak, should always be a form of praise to God for what He does for us every day. Now, Solomon knew the origin of knowledge and understanding. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Notice he didn't say it's the end of knowledge. He says it's the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. Because that's where we began to fully understand what we are and who God made us to be and what He wants us to be. And Solomon demonstrated that through most of his life. Like I said, even though he was given miraculous wisdom and wisdom of man above all others of his time, that didn't mean he didn't always use it. Sometimes, and he was a human being just like us. We fall short. He fell short also. But he had an excellence of understanding that God gave him, an understanding of God's will and God's way. So we go back to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you." So he says, if you receive my words. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Paul says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So if we receive the word of God and we hear it with our mind, and it's more than just the physical act of it going into our ear, it means we receive it in the sense that we accept it by faith, and we're willing to follow it every day we live. And James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "We receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls." So we receive that which gives to us an understanding, and also not just an understanding, but as it says there, we receive with meekness. In other words, we submit to God's will, and we receive that implanted word, which is ultimately able to save our souls. It saves our souls because we accept it, we believe it, and we understand it, and we act accordingly, and we obey the things the Lord has commanded. So Solomon says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands," or some translations say lay up his commands. In other words, lay up this as a treasure in our heart and mind. That's what he wants us to do. We're not to just read it and then go and forget it and do what we want. The book of James talks about one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and then he turns away and he forgets that, and he turns away from it. We have to look into it and lay it up in our heart and mind and treasure that as our guide. In Psalms 119 and verse 11, David said, "Your word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against you." And that's what Solomon is talking about there. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven." And he talks about how those won't be taken away. You know, the moth won't eat it, the thief won't steal it, and it won't be taken away from you if we lay up our treasures in heaven and not upon the earth. Now, you might think, well, coming from Solomon, that's kind of an interesting thing for him to say, since he was the wealthiest king of his time in the whole world. But he says that's what's not really important. The important thing is treasures before God and not from man. And so Solomon was giving his response there. He says, "My son, if you receive my words, treasure my commands within you. Lay them up in your heart and mind," verse 2, "so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." So then he says, incline your ear to hear and to understand and to wisdom. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, when the signs that came upon the apostles with the falling of the Holy Spirit. And there they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they began to do these miraculous things. And the people said, "Well, what is this? We don't understand." Some mocked and said, "Well, they're drunk," even though it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. And Peter stood up and said, "No, these are not drunk as you think." He says, "You men of Judea, all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and give ear unto my words." In other words, incline your ear to hear what this is all about. And Peter went from there, and he went back to the prophecy of Joel in the Old Testament and said, "This that is happening now is what Joel the prophet 800 years ago said was going to happen. And now it is happening. The pouring out of the Spirit on God's people, in this particular case, the apostles, and giving that those miraculous gifts to teach and to preach and to spread the message of eternal salvation." And Joshua chapter 24 and verse 23, Joshua at the end of his life, when he had led the people into the land of promise, they had come across the Jordan River, they had conquered most of the land, not all of it, but most of it. And Joshua, giving his final words to the people of Israel, he said, "Now there," Joshua 24:23 says, "Now therefore, put away," he said, "the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord your God, the God of Israel." Or do you incline your ear to the true God? Some of them evidently had not really left all of the idolatry that was behind them. And he says, you have to incline your ear to serve God and listen to Him and to His law. And if you do so, God will bless you. And so Joshua, like Moses at the end of his life, gave both a blessing and a warning to the people if you're not faithful. So he says, incline your ear to these things so you can know them. Also in this particular passage, we look at chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. In other words, not just think about it, not just receive it into your mind, but you have to put an effort forth to gain more of it. Now, the Bible does not ever expect us simply to open our mind and receive the knowledge and then go about our own way. We're always told we have to put it into practice each day we live. So Solomon says there, not only incline your ear to wisdom, to listen to it, but he says also apply it to your understanding. In other words, every day you live, put forth an effort to gain more from this wisdom and understanding that you receive from studying and understanding the Word of God. That's why in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul told Timothy there, study, or another translation says there, give diligence to show yourself approved unto God. We have to give diligence. We have to put an effort into it to show ourselves approved to God. And he says, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But it takes time, it takes effort to do that, to take up the word of God, to read it, to study it, and to be sure a few moments a day to take time to study a verse or two or maybe a chapter, and just a few moments, just a little while, over a period of time will cause our understanding and our wisdom to grow. Then we may want to do more than that after a while. But if we start there and begin where we can do that, it's going to be a great blessing to us eventually. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, Peter says, therefore, my brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now notice he says, give diligence. That's the same idea as study or to put an effort into it. He says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. In other words, our calling and election is sure in Christ, but we can turn our back upon it if we want to. If we decide to turn our back upon God, He'll allow us to do it. He doesn't want us to, but He'll allow us to do that and be lost eternally. But He says, make your calling and election sure. Well, how do we do that? He says, for if you do these things, and you go back in 2 Peter chapter 1 and read about the things of love and kindness and joy and faith and all those things he talks about. He says, if you do these things, he says, you will never stumble, or you'll never fall away from God if you put forth an effort to put those things into your life. He says, for thus you shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, if we put forth an effort to listen, to gain knowledge, to understand, to put it into practice in life, to set an example for others, we're never going to be lost because we're not going to go away from the Lord. Also there in verse 3 of this passage, he says, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Now notice he says to cry out for this. He says, if you cry out for discernment. So again, there's this idea of putting forth an effort to gain from what God's Word says to you and me. It's not something, again, that we can just read and say, okay, that sounds good and we believe that, and then go and live the way we want. It has to bring about a change in our life, an understanding, a way of life. In Psalms 107 and verse 19, David said, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. David understood that we need to cry out to God. When things are bad for us, we need to do that. But also we need to understand it's not only that time. Sometimes when things are going badly for us, we want to cry out to God for his help. And we should. God wants us to do that. But we shouldn't forget God also when things are going well. Sometimes maybe things are going well and we kind of forget about giving him thanks for all that we have and all the blessings we receive. But David says they cry out unto the Lord in their trouble and he saves them out of their distresses. God has the power to take care of us whether things are going well or they're not going well at all. And we need to understand that. In Matthew 5 and verse 6, in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Notice there's that desire, that earnest seeking for the will of God and the message of God. He says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. We know what it's like occasionally to be truly hungry in our body or truly thirsty and what we'll do to gain those things. Well, Jesus says the spiritual side is the same. He says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that's basically what Solomon is saying. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. And you lift up your voice. In other words, you pray to God. You ask him for the things of this life. And he wants us to do that. Now, God knows what we need. He knows what we're going to ask for before we ask it. He knows what we hope to get and receive. But he still wants us to ask because we are his children. He is our Father. And he wants us to act like we are his children. In Psalms 121 and verse 1, David said, I will lift up my eyes into the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so he's not just talking about the physical hills around Jerusalem where he was. He's talking about the hills of God, the eternal place. He's going to lift up his mind and heart to God. Now turn for a moment over to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, David said, if then you were raised with Christ, look to those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So Solomon says, lift up your eyes, lift up your heart and mind to receive. Paul says, once you have come to Christ, you lifted up those things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above and not upon things of the earth. Now every day we have to deal with the things of the earth. You know, the stresses and problems and troubles of life, the good parts of life, all those things. We have to deal with them. But he says, set your priority first on spiritual things. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When we believe and obey the gospel, our life is hidden with Christ in God. We are a part of Him. He is a part of us. He gives us the promise and the blessing of the gift of the Holy Spirit when we do that. So we're not dead in sin anymore. We are alive again. It says your life is hidden with Christ in God. In verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. If we turn our backs upon God, He'll allow us to be lost. He doesn't want it, but He will do it. But if we remain faithful and we constantly lift up our heart and mind to receive Him and His will into our heart and our thoughts and our ways and our actions, He's going to be with us now and for all of eternity. And verse 4 then, in Proverbs chapter 2, He says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, that's wisdom and knowledge He's talking about. He says, if you do that, but we have to be willing to do so. Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so we have to, again, there's the idea of putting forth an effort. We can't simply sit back and read a little bit and put it in our mind and know that we know that passage, but and not put it into practice. It has to be our everyday life. He says, ask and seek and knock. In other words, there is a responsibility that He places upon us. God never promised that if we pray for wisdom, that He'll just kind of open up our mind and pour the wisdom in, and that's all there is. He didn't say that. He says you have to ask and you have to seek and you have to find. Sometimes we all know that sometimes we get wisdom in life because we have to go through some things that are really bad sometimes. And it causes us to understand our dependence upon God and the problems and troubles we have cause us to be strengthened when we overcome them. That's what James chapter 1 tells us. If we overcome temptation, we're going to be stronger. And that's what He wants us to know and understand. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Notice it says diligently seek Him, not just seek Him a little bit and maybe know a little bit about Him, just enough to be saved. But He says you go all the way as best you can. And if we do so, God will be with us. And then He says in verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. Jesus wants us to continue the search all of our life. In John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus was talking to people who weren't quite ready to accept that He was the Christ, the Messiah. They had some doubts and they searched the Scripture sometimes, but they weren't doing with the right attitude. They were trying to find a way to prove that Jesus wasn't the Christ. Many of them were. He said in John 5 and verse 39, He says, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. Now they would go back to whatever part of the old law that was still in effect at that time, whatever that made them comfortable about the way that they were living, and they would live accordingly. And Jesus says, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. He says, but no, you're not looking at it properly. He says, and these are those which bear witness of me. They were looking at that the law of Moses and the prophets as if they were trying to find something that causes them to feel good, that they knew that they were going to be saved and everything would be all right. But Jesus says, if that's what you think and that's the way you act, He says, you've missed the point. He says, these were written to bear witness of me, the Messiah, the Christ, who is going to come. So there has to be a searching that has to be done to be faithful to God. And all of our life we are supposed to do that. In Acts 17 and verse 11, we have a great example of that. Paul had was thrown out of the city of Thessalonica they wanted to kill him, and they ran him off, and he went to Berea. And he went to Berea and began to preach the word there. The Bible says in Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. How were they more noble? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind, searching the scriptures daily whether these things were so. So they were searching the scriptures for the right reason, not to prove they were right in their own mind and heart, but they were trying to prove and find out if what Paul was preaching was the truth. And you read on, and there were many in that city that believed and obeyed because of what Paul preached there. But he says, examining or searching the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Now again, I said before, we may not have a lot of time every day to study, but even just a few passages a day and reading and thinking about them for a while will cause us to grow spiritually and have a more of a desire to serve and to understand. And that's what Solomon is saying here. That's why at the conclusion of his message, he says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so you incline your ear to hear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure," he says, "then," here's the bottom line, "then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Now that's the purpose that we're here for, to understand the knowledge of the fear of God and the knowledge and wisdom which God reveals to us. It's by that knowledge and wisdom, which is in for us in the New Testament, the gospel of Christ, that we can believe and obey His will. And we have the promise, the ironclad promise of God, that we're going to have eternal life. And like I said, we may fall away, but it's only because we choose to do so. But as long as we are faithful, we're studying, we're learning, we're trying to put into practice for as best we can, and God knows we fall short, and we will, but by His grace and mercy, He'll forgive. But when we make that decision, as Solomon says, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord, the reverence, respect, and love, and those things. And we can do that every day of our life. He says, and we'll find the knowledge of God. It's what God wants us to know and to understand. This evening, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, Jesus gave the wisdom and understanding, revealed it to us in His Word, and gave to us the promise of eternal life. If you need to respond this evening, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.